I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. You know, Brendan, it's my favorite time of year, spooky season.
I thought you were going to say playoff season.
Well, it is playoffs for volleyball, but...
I should rephrase that. I was thinking more, you know, things are getting down to the nitty-gritty in football. You got playoffs in volleyball. A lot of things going on.
Yeah, and it's October, and Halloween's coming up, and the weather finally feels sort of fall-like at times. So, yeah, I'm kind of got me excited more than usual for what I do for a living. Yeah, volleyball playoffs, football getting into region play. I'm Brad with Brendan here on this episode of Prep Rally. This Wednesday, October 11th, we come to you every Wednesday. We're on iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalsports and give our sponsor a shot at feeding you, because Pizza Doctor makes delicious pizza. We tore that stuff up today, man. There's like two slices left.
Yeah, you know.
Ever since you and James showed up here at the Journal, I've had to get two pizzas, and that's still barely enough.
Yeah, I don't know. Just something about pizza. I can just put it down no matter what. So.
Oh, must be nice. Not gain any weight. Of course, you exercise and stuff.
Don't put that in air quotes. Come on, man.
No, you do. Okay, so... As I mentioned, volleyball playoffs, we'll just jump right into that. We are now headed into the quarterfinal round on Thursday, had a bunch of matches on Tuesday. It was second round for 1A through 4A, first round for 5 through 7A. I was at Moorville, where the Troopers were taking on Boonville in a 3A match. And Moorville pulled out the win, dropped the first set, came back and won the next three. You know, it wasn't always the prettiest kind of volleyball. Neither team especially strong at the net, but Moorville very good defensively. I mean, just dig after dig, because I mean, Boonville did get some really good chances at the nets for kills and hit a lot of them cleanly, but a lot of them were returned by Moorville, and so that helped them. You know, you just keep the ball off the floor long enough, the other team might make a mistake, you got a better chance of scoring. So after dropping that first set, 26-24, Moorville came back and won the next three by scores of 25-14, 25-20, and 25-15. So Moorville into the third round of the playoffs for the first time in program history. And this win was extra special because one of their teammates, Sadie Downs, was on hand to cheer them last night. Sadie, if you haven't heard, she was diagnosed with cancer back in the spring, and it's not getting any better. In fact, she got some discouraging news last week about that. So, but she was there on the sidelines, and you know, the team, as you can imagine, said that they're playing for her. You know, dedicating this season to her, and now they've gone deeper into the postseason than the team ever has. This was a Moorville team that lost six players off last year's team, and then of course they, you know, Sadie unable to play, so. Been quite a remarkable journey for them this season to get to this point. Some other notable results from Tuesday night. Saltillo going down to Ridgeland and winning a 6A match. Gets them to 20 wins for the first time as a program. You had New Albany taking a win over Ripley, 3-2. Close one there. East Union swept Neusite. Looking ahead to the next round, again, it's quarterfinals for everybody on Thursday. You got a lot of matches involving area on area teams. Hickory Flat at TCPS in 1A, along with Smithville at Pine Grove. East Union at Walnut in 2A. You got Alcorn Central at Moorville. Alcorn, the defending North champ. So Moorville will have its hands full there. Belmont, last year's 2A champ, playing Kossuth in the 3A quarterfinals. Got Lafayette at Pontotoc in 5A. Lafayette just beat Pontotoc, what was it, last week? Week before that you went to cover?
Yeah, that would have been 2 weeks, because last week I was at Alcorn Central.
Yeah, okay, because they're region opponents. So Lafayette won that one, and I would expect would have the advantage Thursday night. So they're looking to get back to a championship game. lots of we'll be at some of those matches. I plan to be at Hickory Flat and TCPS. I cover TCPS in the first round when they beat West Union, and so that program in just its third year has been making huge strides this season. So look for that coverage. Again, those games are Thursday. Got the semifinals on Saturday. And then the state championships next Thursday and Friday at Ole Miss. Okay, some football. Let's look back a little bit at last week. I had Bruce at Hatley. A couple of 2A teams, non-region showdown. I was expecting a good game, and it was a pretty good game. Hatley pulled it out 45-32. They were down at halftime. But then Kaysen Williams returned the second-half kickoff, 73 yards for a touchdown. That put Hatley ahead to stay, and they pulled away for the win. Williams, the running back, had a great game, 201 yards and three touchdowns on the ground. And that improves Hatley to 5-2 on the season. So a really good start for Hatley football to the season. Anybody that knows football around here knows that Hatley isn't known for winning a lot in that sport, but Coach Seth Lee in his first year has them very much headed in the right direction. That was a quality win over a Bruce program that's also on the rise, that has been struggling in recent years, but the coach down there, Chuck Darbone, in his first year has gotten the Trojans into a much better place to this point. Then you had Nettleton and Moorville. Moorville coming in unbeaten. This was your game, right, Brendan? Yeah. And Nettleton coming in with just one loss. This was a region game in 4-3A. Moorville playing without Wyatt McDaniels, the freshman phenom quarterback. They went to Brody Thompson, who the last year's starter, played in this game at QB. And, you know, I figured with McDaniels out, obviously it hurt Moorville's chances. But they made a game of it, man. 35-28, Nettleton won. After opening up a big lead, what did you kind of see develop there after that big lead was opened up?
Yeah, I was sitting there at halftime, kind of wondering how quickly we could hit running clock territory, just never really developed after that. I think this is 4 days ago, so cut me some slack here, but. It just seemed like, I think Nelton got stopped on, fourth and goal from the 10, 12, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just, they just didn't really have the ball that much in the second half. For a good bit, Moorville kind of shifted to a, kind of a wildcat offense.
Yeah.
Occasionally they would actually, throw the quarterback out there and hand it off, but it was a lot of running the ball in the second half. And, They killed a lot of clock in the third quarter.
Yeah.
But, they got a touchdown out of it. And, and they recovered two onside kicks in that game, which was nuts.
Wow. What are the odds?
Yeah, I think I put that as a note in my gamer from that night. It's just really helped turn the tide in that one, because it was just their defense had a tough night. I mean, they gave up, 35
points.
Yeah, 35. Yeah,
and Braylon Williams is the quarterback in Elton. He's
good,
pretty darn good.
Yeah, but they gave up 35 points, and then that's not even counting the fumble that they recovered, or Moorville's defense recovered, right at the goal line. I mean, I think they recovered the ball the 3.
At their own 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you figure that's another 6-7 points off the board.
Right.
And there was another fumble that they recovered around their own 30.
Wow.
So, that easily could have been another 14 points that,
that Nelton could have scored.
Could have put up. I think they recovered 3 fumbles. I think there was another one near midfield on a 4th-and-1 that they just coughed it up. Or I might be. Thing is, I don't know, but there was definitely a third fumble, I think,
right near the field. Right.
Point is, there were some serious missed opportunities for Nelson's offense, and it's just kind of those things where you don't put teams away when they give you the opportunities. Yeah. Sometimes they just hang around.
Yeah, but Nelton was able to come away with the road win in region play, so big win for the Tigers. the stunner of the night was Germantown beating Starkville 34-33, and now Tupelo gets to play this Germantown team on Thursday at home in a Region 2-7A matchup. Starkville, of course, our number one ranked large school, Tupelo number three. And so I'll be honest, I didn't see the Germantown thing coming. But, I mean, when you can rush for how much was it? Hold on. When you can rush for 374 yards, you got a good chance of winning. Now, I knew Starkville's defense had some question marks coming in because they lost so many guys from last year, but I did not foresee them giving up that kind of yardage to anybody all season. And it kind of makes you wonder, well, maybe this race for the 7A state title is more wide open than we previously thought. I mean, you figured Tupelo and Starkville would be in the mix, as they were last year. Starkville won it in 6A and beat Tupelo in the North Final. And then Oak Grove out of the South looks like the team to beat down that direction. But now here comes Germantown, which coming into this game was 3-3. Now, those losses were against good teams, but just, you know, didn't see them as a state title contender. But they just beat Starkville, so you have to take them seriously. And if they can beat Tupelo, then oof, move them to the front of the line in the North, man. So Tupelo's got a big challenge on its hands. Now, its defense has been really good all season. It showed up big last week in a 14-12 win over Madison Central to open region play. But the offense has had some issues, Brendan. You got to talk with Ty Harden this week. I don't think he got specific, but he's going to mix some things up this week, isn't he?
Yeah, that was kind of the thing that I took away from it, is that he mentioned something about putting their best 11 athletes on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what that turns into.
And that's saying something, because they got some pretty darn good athletes that have been out there, from quarterback Jeremiah Harrell to the running backs Quay Middlebrooks and J.J. Hill, the receivers Tyreek Darden and J.Q. Witherspoon. And if there's been a consistent issue with this offense, from what I've seen, it's been the offensive line play, especially in pass protection. I remember the Oxford game, they were having all sorts of trouble. Harrell was having to leave the pocket early, and they got several holding calls in that game. I only scored 14 points last week against Madison Central, so I'm very curious to see what kind of lineup changes he makes, Brendan. You'll be covering that game for us. Again, that's Thursday night at Tupelo. Really big game, even bigger than we thought it might be, given what happened last week.
Well, I think it's just frustrating for, I mean everybody, really, that, you know, they scored almost 500 points last year.
Yeah, and Jeremiah Harrell was our offensive player of the year. Now he's completed barely half of his passes, and again, I don't think that's all on him.
Yeah, and, you know, they returned – it's not just Harrell. They've returned a lot of their skill players from last year.
Yeah, most of them. I mean, the big loss was Katie Gibson, that receiver, but they were loaded at receiver already, and they still are. So – I don't know. I haven't watched all their games to be able to pinpoint exactly what the problem areas are. I just, based on what I've seen, looks like maybe up front they may have to change some things up. But we'll find out Thursday night.
Yeah, I'll try to keep an eye out for you.
Yeah. Okay, another big game coming up in 1A. Tupelo Christian visits Biggersville. This is a region game. Biggersville has been dominant in that region for the last few years, Region 1. Tupelo Christian, actually, was the last team to beat them in a region game. I think Biggersville has won 13-14 in a row since then, but 2 years ago, Tupelo Christian did beat them. So, you know, this is the game I'll be at, and the way Biggersville has beaten just about everybody, the one loss coming to Nettleton, a 3A team, but the way they've handled the rest of the competition, you think even – as good as TCPS is this year, and they're kind of wonder how long can Tupelo Christian hang with them? I mean, they've got the stud Brewer Bailey on both sides of the ball. Problem is, Biggersville has several studs, like Jathan Hatch, the Louisville commit.
Yeah, so that's the big problem, is that, yeah, you know, nobody in 1A has a Jathan Hatch. You know?
No, they don't. And then you got Trey Gunn, who's no slouch himself, and he does it like he's a triple threat, offense, defense, special teams. He can score touchdowns all sorts of ways. Drew Rousey, the quarterback, doesn't throw it a lot, but he is extremely efficient. He hasn't thrown a pick all season. Okay. I mean, only 40-something attempts, I think, but still, he's taking care of the ball. He's been doing it for a while. He's very experienced. And that defense likes to create turnovers, and they just don't give up many points. So it's, you know, going to take more than just Brewer or Bailey having a big game for TCPS to pull this one out. This game, again, is at Bakersfield. That makes it even tougher. So big game there for both of those teams. In Region 1-5A, Lafayette visits Pontotoc. Pontotoc in 5A for the first time this year, won last week over New Hope to open region play. Lafayette lost to Clarksdale last week in a region game. So I haven't been able to get a really good bead on either one of these teams. They're both have records right around 500. Brendan, I don't think you've seen either one of these, have you, yet?
No, I haven't.
It seems Pontotoc has a pretty tough defense. Lafayette, they've got a talented quarterback in Nick Thompson. He's thrown the 13 touchdowns, but he's thrown 11 interceptions as well. So that could be a big factor, the turnover battle. I know Lafayette's got some guys on defense like Jory and Shaw. And going back to the offense, they've got a really good receiving tandem with Mekhi Reed-Jones and D. Gibson. So I make my predictions each week. By the way, my picks column comes out Thursday this week, not Friday, because we've got some of those Thursday games. But this is the one pick I kind of was going back and forth on, Pontotoc Lafayette. I initially picked one to win, then I went back and, like, as I was editing it, I was like, no, I'm going to go the other direction. It means I probably should have stuck with the first instinct, because any time I change a pick, I end up usually end up missing on that one. Went 5-1 last week, by the way. Just FYI. Okay, so Lafayette, Pontotoc, we'll have James. I think James is covering that game for us. Yes. Okay. Let's wrap it up with our Athletes of the Week nominees. You can go vote for who you think should be named Athlete of the Week. We got the three nominees, three female athletes, three male athletes. Go to our Twitter page at DJournalSports. If it's not up yet, it should be shortly, but you can vote for Athlete of the Week. The female nominees this week are Marley Jackson of New Albany Volleyball, Sadie Randolph of Belmont Volleyball, and Sarah Jo Skelton of Hickory Flat Volleyball. Male Athlete of the Week nominees, Noah Gillen, Boonville Football, Brody Moore of West Union Cross Country, and Kaysen Williams of Hatley Football. So again, go to DJournalSports on Twitter and a vote for Athletes of the Week. And that's all the time we have. Thank you, Brendan, for joining us. You can follow Brendan on Twitter.
It's at bferrell727.
I'll never remember that.
Yeah, Brad never remembers that.
I'm on there at Brad Locke. And again, we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, Midtown Point, Tupelo. Almost forgot to let the Podgator pipe in. Okay, that's it. We'll see y'all next time.